fairly remarkable thing happened. The British Broadcasting Company, the BBC, launched an ambitious project. One of their producers, a woman named Aubrey Singer, had come up with an idea to do an international, worldwide broadcast live to showcase the power and the reach of television. It was called Our World. It was a 2.5-hour program broadcast from nations all over the world, from England, from the United States, from Australia, all over. The ground rules said no politicians or heads of state could participate. Everything had to be live, so you couldn't use any videotape or film. Over 10,000 technicians, producers, and interpreters took part in this broadcast. Each country had its own announcers to make sure that the program could be understood in each language. 14 different countries participated in the production. It was broadcast in 24 different countries and an estimated audience at that time of 400 million people saw it. Creative artists, including the Beatles, opera singer Maria Callas, and painter Pablo Picasso, were invited to represent over 19 different nations to perform or appear in some way in separate segments to show their craft, their creativity, their art. It was a massive undertaking at the time, and it should have been remembered for these amazing accomplishments. But through the eyes of history, what it has become most famous for is the segment that closed out the British portion of the 2.5-hour show. They closed it out with the first live in-studio presentation of a brand new Beatles song written just for the broadcast called All You Need Is Love. The song would go on after the broadcast to be a number one hit all over the world. All you need is love. What a great message to send out to the world, to 400 million people watching on TV sets. This week, of course, marks the midpoint of winter. Winter starts officially in late December, even though we got snow in late November. And it's supposed to end on March 22nd, though you and I have both seen snow and ice well after that. So this second week of February kind of falls in the middle, the halfway marker. And how do we celebrate this celestial occurrence midway through the cold winter? Why, with heart-shaped boxes of chocolates, a dozen roses, and a fine meal, all while professing our love for one another. I don't know who put a holiday for lovers in the middle of winter. It had to be someone that lived in a tropic climate. How, in the middle of dreary, cold, frozen, snow-covered, iced over winter, someone said, "This is a good time to make sure my relationship is in a good place. This is a good time for chocolate and roses when everything's covered in snow and ice. This is a good time for my lover to know that we're still good, that we still love each other. Here's a card, some flowers, an invitation to brunch. I love you." It's kind of a weird holiday at a weird time. Shouldn't Valentine's Day be in June? When flowers are coming out, when the trees are budding, when the grass is green, when the warm breezes come through and it's 80 degrees and you feel like getting out and doing something. 5 below last week. It was 5 below for the high. Happy Valentine's Day. I don't understand this holiday at all. Billions with a B, dollars will be spent this week so that we can prop up the chocolate makers and the florists and Hallmark during their slow season. But we make it work. Somehow, in the midst of all this cold and ice, we warm our hearts up enough to make it work. Maybe because we crave love so much. We want love in our lives. The love that says we are not alone. The love that says someone cares about me and what happens to me. The love that says I care about someone and what happens to them. We desire this feeling to love and be loved. The poets and the philosophers proclaim there's nothing more sought after, nothing more attainable to us. Into this week of sweethearts and lovers and little candies that say, be mine, we come with this piece of scripture from 1 John. God is love. Beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. Two paragraphs, approximately 15 or 16 sentences, 24 times the writer uses the word love or some form of it. 24 times. I often help my daughter out when she's writing papers for her college classes. I'll proofread them and edit them for her. And one of the things I always warn her about in a long paper that she's writing is not to overuse words. Right? Don't overuse words and phrases. It's really easy to do that. Right? College kids especially, they love the word like plethora. Right? And they use it too much. Right? You read their paper and it's plethora, plethora, plethora. And it's like, look, I get it. It means a lot. You can say a lot. That's okay. You don't have to say plethora. I think you're using plethora a plethora, plethora times. You can't use it that much. Right? But this writer in 1 John, nobody told him that. Or if they did, do you think he cut it down? Do you think 24 was the low number? Do you think at one point it just read like this? God is love, 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 love. And somebody read it and said, I don't know, John, that's a lot. You could maybe trim a couple of those out, right? And he got it down to 24 times. And they're like, well, if that's where you can get it, then fine. We'll go with that. God is love. Over and over, the writer of 1 John beats us with this message to drive home this idea. God is love. That if we're going to say that we're with God, then love had better be among us as well. We cannot say we love God and then hate one another. Those two things are not compatible. They cannot coexist. It is not possible to proclaim to the world, I am a follower of God, a disciple of Jesus Christ, full of his Holy Spirit, and then hate someone. Because, as 1 John has so eloquently told us, God is love. If I am with God, then I am with love. Love is my calling card, my reputation, my utmost attainment. God is love. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Since God loves us so much, we ought to love one another. Those who abide in love abide in God. I'll admit, I don't always know the right thing to do or the right thing to say in our faith. There are times when our faith is hard, when it doesn't seem to have all the answers, when we struggle against tragedy and chaos. And there are times when I see people doing horrible things, saying horrible things. This happens on social media all the time. I'll see people just make the most horrible, racist, misogynistic, hateful posts, and I'll start to type a response, right? I'm gonna show them, right? And I type it all out. And just before I hit send, this question just kind of nags across my brain. It says, are you sending this to them in love? Will they feel love when you send this? Because God is love. Delete, 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 delete. I don't always know the right answer. I don't always know the right words to say, the right thing to do. Sometimes I'm just as stumped as you are when I try to live my faith in this world, when I struggle against the meanness and hatred and anger that seems to pervade so much of our existence today. And you know, maybe I never will. Maybe I never will know the right answer or the right response. Maybe I'm not supposed to have all the answers or always know the right thing to do. I trust that God knows. Maybe I'm just supposed to be faithful and love. I love the piece of scripture from 1 Peter this morning. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. When my wife and I were young, we were living out in Lincoln, Nebraska. She was going to school, but she got a part-time job at the same Hy-Vee store I worked at. She was going to be a checker, and while she was learning the job, the manager of the store told her and the other people training one day that they needed to get it right. That if they didn't get it right, it didn't matter how much they smiled, right? Because that was Hy-Vee's thing, right? A helpful smile in every aisle. That it didn't matter if you didn't get it right, if you screwed up, it wouldn't matter how much you were smiling because the customer would get irate. To which my wife responded, I've always heard that a smile covers a multitude of sins. She didn't work there very long, to be quite honest with you. So it was about a week and a half, I think, is how long she made it. So, but it comes from this piece in 1 Peter. Love covers a multitude of sins. As if God is telling us, you're not always going to know the right thing to say, the right thing to do, the right thing to be. But you can always love one another. And that's going to cover just about everything you encounter. Don't get me wrong, it won't solve all the problems. It won't end all the suffering. It won't fix all the ills. But doesn't it seem like a good place to start? Love one another. It's remarkable to me that when they were asked to provide a song for this first ever worldwide television broadcast, the Beatles wrote this song. When they were signed up, they were asked to write a song simple enough that everyone would get it. Imagine that task. We're going to beam this out to multiple countries, multiple languages, multiple cultures. Please write something that everybody will understand. Across political boundaries, across language barriers, across cultural divides, a song that everyone will get. This broadcast, by the way, happened just a few weeks after the Six-Day War, where Arab and Israeli forces had clashed in the Middle East. The world was once again feeling the heat of the Cold War as Russia and their allies backed the Arabs and the United States and Europe backed the Israelis. And it was a tense time, as it almost always is. It was in that environment that Paul McCartney sat down in one day and wrote these lyrics. Love, love, love. There's nothing you can do that can't be done. Nothing you can sing that can't be sung. Nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game. It's easy. There's nothing that you can make that can't be made. No one you can save that can't be saved. Nothing you can do, but you can learn how to be you in time. It's easy. All you need is love. All you need is love. Love is all you need. This was the message they chose to send out to 400 million people around the world. A message that they hoped everyone would get. What message will we send out to the world today, this week, this month? As we go about our everyday lives, as we encounter and engage with people. This week, Valentine's Day, tell your loved ones you love them. Wish them a happy Valentine's Day. consider our message, our good news, we won't always know just what we should be putting out there, and we won't always get it right, but certainly we can start with love. All we need is love. Amen.